The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
It's All-Ireland Final Week. Anything to say, boys?
No, it's great to be here. It's great.
How would you stop?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
20 minutes past nine this Thursday morning. Now, Allianz Ireland has been a proud sponsor of Paralympics Ireland since 2010 and has been a partner with Ellen Keane for the last 5 years. And I'm delighted to say Allianz Paralympic brand ambassador Ellen Keane is with us now. Ellen, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm a little bit tired, but that's okay.
I saw some fairly spectacular scenes on the seafront in Clontarf last night where you were driving around and there were horns blaring and there were people out with tricolours. It was your official homecoming last night. Fairly sensational stuff to live through. What was it actually like to be in the middle of it?
Oh my God, it was madness. I was completely unexpecting it, to be honest. Like, I knew it was coming and I was aware that, like, people were messaging me saying they were going to come, but to see like complete strangers and hundreds of complete strangers just standing out there clapping, beeping horns, cheering me on, it was so lovely, especially having been in Tokyo where there was no crowds, there was no one in the stands. I didn't have that experience of getting on the podium. I could hear my teammates, but our team is so small that it didn't really have the same effect as yesterday. So when we were driving around as well, I got a bit emotional, I'm not gonna lie. I was at times I was like, am I crying? I don't know, but no, it was so special, so special.
Kelly Harrington had a great line about the last mile being pretty lonely when you're trying to achieve anything, and I'm sure it's been like that for you over the last while, in particular because of the COVID delay and everything that came with that in getting ready for the Paralympic Games. So on reflection, what has that whole weirdness been like for you?
It has been really, really neat, but at the same time, had so much support and up, and my have been backing me for so long, and they were still there even after the uncertainty. Kind of just that little bit, and it's all gonna be okay. You never really felt that alone because everyone was kind of crowned hoping and wishing you well. I'm lucky enough as well because my boyfriend is he's college's coach from us, and I've been going through this together as well. So he came home a little early and he was literally like, nobody understands. So now that I'm home and we're together, it's actually like we understand what's going on. And it is a really, really lonely kind of feeling when you come home as well. But because it was my fourth games, I was aware of it and I knew it was going to happen, and I wasn't surprised by kind of the come down feeling. And I think that's something that maybe first time Olympians or Paralympians need to understand, need to know that it's okay to be feeling really, really low, because you have been training maybe your whole life, maybe just the past 5 years, but just for that moment to get there. And it's over so quickly as well. And then you kind of have to be like, where do I go from here? But I think it's just important. My plan now is just to relax and feel whatever I'm feeling. And I think that's just a really important thing to do.
That's knowledge, essentially, that you have acquired from post-Beijing and everywhere in between.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing as well. I think people, when they go to their first games, they have all these hopes and ambitions, and it's hard to actually get to a games and even get a personal best because it's all just so new and so big. And I know there are some people who didn't have performances that they wanted to have, but that's where like experience comes in. And now next time around, it mightn't be as difficult and you might be able to manage it a little bit more. And there's just no way of really, as much as you have support in the background, nobody really knows what it's like until you get there. And then that experience that you have, you bank that in your mind. So the next time you go, you'll be a little bit more prepared mentally.
Does an event like last night, where there is an outpouring, that like a physical outpouring, a manifestation of people's love for you, does that help with the come down? Or is it actually kind of almost more pronounced?
I don't know how to answer that. I guess it was just so emotional for me yesterday because like I knew how much this medal meant to me, because like I've been it's my life that I've been living. It's my fourth games and the fourth time that I went, and I finally got that gold. But I didn't realize how much it actually meant to the people of Clontarf. And I saw it yesterday. So it just made me so proud to be able to do that. And like in the back of my mind, I think I had such like a mental block for a long time. And I have overcome that. And now the possibilities are endless for me. So my mind is now going to Paris, and my mind is like, what can I achieve in Paris now? And I think that kind of helps as well with Come Down as well, knowing that I want to do it again and knowing that there is more, and I just need to figure out and make a plan of how to get more out of myself.
That was pretty quick, because I was there at some point in your life a doubt about whether or not Tokyo is going to happen for you? Where had you wavered in the past and said, okay, I've had my experience about this, I'm going to go off and do whatever it is that I'm going to do after my sports career? Like,
not so much that Tokyo wasn't going to happen. It was more that I was in a rut, and I think any sports person can relate to this, that when you've been at something for so long, you kind of get to a point where you mightn't improve for a very, very long time. And I think that's something that maybe younger people coming into the sport need to realize, that you're getting loads of personal bests, you're improving all the time, but then you'll get to the point where it's not going to improve anymore. And you need to figure out mentally how to get the next percentage out of you. And I think I was just stuck for a very long time, because mentally I had so many races where I was just swimming the exact same time in and around 122, 123. And I knew that I was capable of swimming faster. And for Tokyo, it was kind of like, if I can't do this in Tokyo, then I'll probably retire. And I did think about that. I did think, like, I'm not going to spend years of my life training and getting stronger and feeling faster and not actually improving when it counts, and it not showing that I've been training hard. So when I actually got to Tokyo, like, I knew medals, I was aware that medals were there. But for me, it was like, I just want to go and do the job, get the job done, show people how fast I am. And I think that confidence going into Tokyo really, really helped. And I kind of blocked out all the silliness of all the frills that come with the games. And I kind of just wanted to get the job done. And even the few days beforehand, when we had been tapering down and resting loads, people kept asking me, oh, are you nervous? Are you excited? And I was like, I'm just bored. Like, I just want to get in and do what I know I'm capable of doing. So in the heat, when I went to 121, yeah, I got a PB. I was content with that first morning swim. It's always harder to swim fast in the morning. So I was happy with the morning swim, but I was like, I know I can go 119. And I knew that despite racing Sophie, even like a few days before the race, when I saw the entries and I saw Sophie, I literally was like, oh, I'm so afraid, because she is a nine-time gold medalist. This was going to be her chance to try and get a 10th gold medal. And I was possibly the one who was going to get in the way. And I knew how close the race was as well. For the final, I just was so confident that I had done everything that I possibly could do. And I just felt so prepared. And I think if you go to a games knowing that you have left no stone unturned, then whatever happens, happens. And that's literally the last thing that I told myself before I walked out, was no matter what happens, I'll be okay.
Did you know months out that you were in that form and that you were on that trajectory, or did that realization come pretty close, even kind of on the morning when you do the PB, you're like, okay, everything that I told myself was true? Or did you know it had been true on the basis of everything that you had done in preparation?
I think I knew it was true for a long time. And that's why I didn't want to go to the European Championships in May as well, because I didn't want other people to know. And I kind of wanted to keep it to myself. And I kind of thought that if other people knew, then I might start to feel the pressure a bit more. I might start to have the self-doubts. But like, my team knew, my coach knew, even like some of my athletes were like, I've never seen you like so in the zone and so ready and prepared. And like that, hearing that from your fellow teammates, it gives you so much confidence. And it's a lovely thing to hear that they also see it and they also feel it. So having that environment and being in that environment definitely helped in Tokyo, just to kind of keep cool and not panic. And I think that's kind of what I've done in the past, is I've nearly heard what people expect of me and I've been too afraid to do it. Because I don't know, maybe it was a fear of failure, or I could just feel the pressure and I didn't know how to deal with the pressure. But even like the lead up to the 100 breaststroke, I just came off social media. I just didn't want any outside influence because I was so confident in what I could do. I think just the confidence leading in and knowing that I was in the shape for a very, very long time was really reassuring.
So what changed from a psychological perspective to give you the freedom to do that?
Honestly, I think it was, I know how like the pandemic and not being able to race and train was really difficult for me, but I think the time away from racing and away from expectation and away from my own want to swim a certain time, I just kind of gave myself a break that I never had before. I was constantly racing, constantly competing. And since I was 13, so that was like 12 years of just constantly going and constantly expecting to swim a certain time and not doing it. So to have that time off and to have that step away from racing, it kind of gave me a bit of perspective to realize that it's just a pool. You just need to dive in and get from one point to the other as quickly as you can. Whatever is going on in the background doesn't matter. Just focus on what you can control. And I think there was a lot of things in the background as well that I couldn't control, but I was focusing on those things and I just decided to forget about it. And I think that's a lesson going forward now that I have definitely learned from Tokyo, that just control the controllables. And I know lots of people say that, and I've said that before in the past, but now I really, really know what that means. And even at nighttime, like I'd go to bed, I text everyone being at like 9 o'clock saying I'm coming off my phone. I'd turn off my phone and then I would just chill out for an hour and then I'd go to sleep. And it was just those little things that I was doing and I was in control of. And they were also giving me confidence, knowing that I'm going to have a great sleep now because I've come off my phone and I've done all this.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's really all the little things right. I knew I was doing all the little things right. So on the day of the race, I was like, there's nothing more for me to do, just do it.
Every half-assed coach of every team in the world says control the controllables, but actually I'm not sure they live it or they know what it means. Or, you know, it's great to have these aphorisms that you spit out at people, but having lived that high performance life and having been through the experience that you have over the last 12 years, it's a fairly amazing skill set and bank of experience that you've built up. I know you're obviously interested in a career in the media, but have you thought about a career in high performance after Paris as well? Because it seems like that journey that you've been on is, it's not unique, but it's certainly your ability to communicate it the way you've just communicated it this morning. You could inject that into, we had James Gale on talking about Galway hurling, you could inject it into any inter-county setup, you could inject it into any individual. Like, is this part of your life that you're ready to impart that wisdom with other people?
Yeah, like I think I'm gone.
We still got you.
Oh, it literally jumped. I do really, really enjoy it. And I do really enjoy the high performance environment and the lifestyle. But I think for a long time as well, I kind of knew what it was, but I had never lived it. So anytime I did a talk or people wanted to hear about my swimming, like I would always talk more about like my experience as a person with a disability rather than my sport, because I kind of felt like I hadn't nailed it yet and I hadn't understood it yet. So I'm not going to stand up and talk about what other people should be doing when I haven't gotten there yet. And now that I've finally gotten there, I almost feel like there was no other way for it to end. And now that I've finally gotten there, I am excited to share my story. I am excited to maybe make a difference to people. I do. I really would maybe perhaps go down that road, but I'm not finished yet. There's still so much more in me. And now that I've nailed it and I know what I'm capable of when I really, really focus, I'm quite excited for Paris to see what I'm capable of there.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing, like, and the fact that it's coming around so quick in Olympic cycle. I mean, 3 years is still 3 years, but it is actually pretty quick. One of the best things that that we always get thrown at us is when we're talking about stuff, and particularly if it's football or if it's whatever, the show us your medals texts come in pretty quick, and the old pundits who did play the game, if you've ever got an opinion that they disagree with, they're like, oh, show us your medal. You now will be able to show everybody your medals. Can you show us your medal today? You've got it with you, I think.
I do. It is.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet, and it's also really, really heavy, and it's really shiny. Like, I don't think the medals from Rio were this shiny, or maybe just because it's new. It is a very special medal, and I honestly, even in Tokyo itself, like, I hadn't really reacted, and I hadn't really realized what I did. And I think I had been talking to one of the Kiwi boys, and obviously he would have been a teammate of Sophie, and it was him saying, I don't think you realize what you've done. And I was like, what do you mean? I don't think you realize what you've done. And he was like, nobody beat Sophie. Very few people beat Sophie, and you beat Sophie. And I was like, oh, that was kind of when it kind of sunk in. And then even on the podium, hearing that I was the Paralympic champion, it wasn't even the gold medal, it was the Paralympic champion that kind of got me going. And the difference I think that this medal is going to make in terms of growing the profile of Paralympics even more in Ireland. Like, Clontarf put up that, so the logo for the Paralympics is called the Agitos, the symbol. Not a lot of people would confuse it with the Olympic rings. So even they could say Paralympics, but they'll put the Olympic rings up. And in Clontarf, they put a flag up of the Agitos. And that got me going as well, because I was like, that's for me, like, that I'm doing that. And I'm just so proud that I am able to do that and maybe inspire a few kids along the way to get involved in parasport.
Yeah, look, I think that's definitely part of it. I don't know if you saw the cover of the Irish Times where it might have been Kelly Harrington, it might have been you, it might have been Leona, and it might have been Katie Taylor about how the women are taking over. And that's the other aspect of this, is that, like, we've had 12 to 18 months on the back of the 20 by 20 campaign where the women have taken over and they've achieved unbelievable things. And every single one of them in their own way are breaking down barriers and setting new trends and inspiring people. And I don't know, it is an absolutely sensational moment to be a young woman who is interested in sport and going, well, what am I going to do? Look at all these amazing role models I have. I don't know if you felt any of that, or if you feel part of that, or if it's in any way an inspiration to you. But you're definitely inspiring.
It's funny because I think knowing those girls and, like, seeing them train and seeing them compete, it's almost like, I almost feel like we've just had enough of being called women in sport. Like, we are athletes. And even I've had enough of being called a disabled athlete. Like, I am an athlete. And that's one thing that I really noticed in Tokyo as well. Like, the Olympic and Paralympic logos were side by side all the time, and we were just treated parallel to the Olympians. We weren't treated any differently, and it was just, we are athletes here to compete, and that's what us as women are doing. We're not talking about being women in sport. We're talking about, we are high performance athletes, and we're going to show you what we can do.
I think that comes through loud and clear from all of you as individuals, and I think it is definitely a moment for us as a country. There's been an awakening over the last number of years. I think the Meath Footballers helped that. I know, probably as a Dubs fan, you weren't too impressed by that, but hey, look, it's good for the game, it's good for all of us. Ellen, congratulations, it's a remarkable achievement, and we're really looking forward to what happens over the next 3 years as well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the support, guys.
It's Ellen Keane there, Paralympian gold medalist, and what a shiny gold medal it is. Of course, a brand ambassador for Allianz Ireland have been a proud sponsor of Paralympics Ireland since 2010, and I've been a partner with Ellen for the last 5 years as well. Right, we're a little bit late, so we went a bit longer than that, but definitely worthwhile.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
It's All-Ireland Final Week. Anything to say, boys?
No, it's great to be here. It's great.
How would you stop?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.